Rudy used to talk about a marker, in a sense, recognizing your development spiritually. And he said, you know you were growing if you were on a freeway, maybe the Taconic, going somehow north or somewhere, and you were running out of gas, and you run out of gas, and you find you're right next to a gas station, and that the gas station has a great restaurant attached to it. Now, I don't know how many of you have run out of gas next to gas stations with great restaurants, but I'm bringing it up because the last months of my life have felt like I am continually running out of gas next to gas stations with restaurants attached. And I've never known that experience before. I've had tastes of it, and I've described them in these talks, and you've all experienced it, of driving on a long road and you make every green light, every light's green. And the minute you go, wow, hitting all the green lights, red light, red light, instantaneously appears. So you kind of learn after a while not to go, wow, these are great restaurants, and I'm looking forward to getting out of, running out of gas. You really find yourself in what is, for me, a truly different place. And I'm going to describe it to you, not as a precursor to all of our journeys necessarily, it's my journey, but I think as a universal in it. And I think the universal comes at us through our story, through our narrative, through our personal structure. So this is my story right now. But the thing that's occurring is I am feeling like I am witnessing a continual stream of what I would call grace. Continual, absolute grace. But there is nobody celebrating the grace. There's nobody going, wow, I am experiencing grace, because that changes the equation. There is only grace. And the feeling I am experiencing that is happening, that is being, rather than me acknowledging it, is that life is grace. And that all of us have a story that we tell ourselves from early on, where we become self-conscious and we become aware of our story in this graceful journey. And our story, which separates us from grace, separates us from the story, is where all the drama occurs. And I cannot say that that drama is not part of the ballgame. It appears to be what's wanted. We all get sucked up into me and it. And so what happens when you get sucked up into me and it, when the car runs out of gas, there's this angry person reacting. Why me, God? Why did I run out of gas? The fact that there's a gas station right there is, oh, okay. The fact that it has a restaurant, well, you're not hungry, you're not going to eat there. So you pass through the graceful experience that's been offered, still connected to your story that you ran out of gas on the freeway. Why me? And from a higher perspective, there's this thing of, why is this person having a negative reaction? Why do we tell ourselves a story in which we are the bereaved or the aggrieved person? Why do we separate ourselves out from the grace that is happening? I don't know that I have an answer for it. But I do get a sense that the human journey is the journey toward revelation or realization that you are a creature in a universe of grace. And I don't know why it's such a hard journey for us. I don't know why there's a struggle. I don't know why we want to identify ourselves as separate from that and pull ourselves out of that equation, but we do. And I'm watching this unfold, not so much at this point as a storyteller trying to get the message and interpret it and share it. What I'm trying to do is voice this awareness that is coming through and is presenting itself as, if you will, me, source. There is less and less an ownership of this awareness. There is less even of an awareness. There is only grace. When the awareness occurs, it a little bit separates one from the grace. Not that it's a bad thing, it's part of the human experience, but it pulls you away and you go, you look at it. What you experience when that takes place is gratitude. Like, it's not even wow gratitude, because that makes you a special player in it. It absolutely has no desire to make you special or to single you out. Basically, its message is everyone. Every created form and being is part of this grace. And to be singled out by it, in a way, is to enter the realm of suffering and pain. Even if you separate yourself out as being, wow, look how wonderful this is, look what I've been given, you set yourself up for the loss of that. It is not about loss or gain. It is about the what is, the absolute nature of being. And the nature of being appears to have, if you will, ups and downs, good things and bad things. All of these things occur. And the separate mind judges them and builds them into story and puts some of them in the good house and some in the bad house and some in the mediocre house. But you build a story and you build a life around these accumulated moments and how they impact you as a separate entity. But the journey of a spiritual life is the washing away of separateness, washing away of the walls that contain, the voice that separates you out, the voice that tells you this is good and this is bad, you are special, you are not special. All of those voices of ego-mindedness, which are really essential to the operation of this physical existence, are in the end impediments to the truth of who and what you really are. Yet there appears to be a need for that separation. There appears to be a need for our human dynamic, for our using that to get ahead, to build, to transcend, to achieve, to do the stuff that keeps this world working. So to whatever degree that's important, the ego mind is an essential part of the equation. But as you learn from people along the way, if you're lucky, people like Rudy, there is something you can do that relaxes your involvement in all of that. It doesn't remove you from it. It just makes you a smoother, easier, more graceful player. What I'm coming to understand for myself is that the more you surrender you and stop reacting to things as though they're about you, you become the thing you are, which is a kind of incarnated vessel of love and grace. You become a fountain or a hose or a mechanism via which this thing comes into the world. And as it comes into the world, you are the mechanism through which it arrives, or one of them. And the more you are open and available to the largeness of this, the more you serve. And the word that keeps coming to me throughout the day is serve. And it's not like there's a me serving. Occasionally it comes up. There are things that bring me into, you know, Brucehood, and I definitely feel it. But mostly it is, there is no person home. There's nobody there. And when that person does arrive, the mechanism that I am going through right now, which is really powerful, is the scrubbing away of everything that thinks Bruce is in the equation. And as I've been describing over the course of many months now, this is not an easy, comfortable experience, because they're taking the deep layers of the old hidden stuff, bringing them to the surface so you have to look at it, and then they're using really strong scrub brushes to wipe it away. It is, when it happens, exceedingly painful, unpleasant, fearful, panicky-like. Even mild stuff becomes huge in its wildness, wild discomfort. It takes away everything, everything. Your understanding, sense of meaning, sense of clarity, everything starts to go away. And if you're lucky, and I'm learning this, there's a part of you that just watches. So now when I wake up in the middle of the night and I am being torn to shreds, which is something I experience, I go, I've never done that before. I've always reacted. I've always been fearful. I've always been, not me, what have I done wrong? Because it gives you, it takes away everything in you that thinks you understand it. Like everything I'm telling you right now as a speech, it would look at all of that and go, that's such bullshit. Total bullshit. There is no truth to any of this. This is a complete made-up lie, and you can do what you want, but you are a meaningless nothing entity in the universe, and too bad. And so my reaction to that used to be, oh, God, I knew it. This is like the worst thing ever. I'm a total charlatan. There's no truth to any of this, and I am absolutely a wasted entity. And a false truth. And then it passes. And if I don't react to it, and I don't go to the full extreme of it, it just goes away, and I go back to sleep, and I wake up in the morning, and I have been waking up in the morning, I have to say, amazed that I am here. I don't know where here is anymore. I don't know how I got to this house, how I got to this community of people that I really love, how I entered into this universe right now. But as I have said in the past, it wasn't that I moved, but I was moved. I was lifted up out of the West Coast energy, which I loved and felt really comforted in, and transported into this space. And I fought it every step of the way. But I suddenly realized I've landed in a land of great grace, surrounded by people of grace, surrounded by people that I love. Not that I don't have enormous numbers of people that I love in California and elsewhere, but I have arrived at a place of such generosity, kindness, open-heartedness, goodness, love, ease. It's hard to describe. I've never experienced anything quite like it. I don't want to build a thing about it, but Blanche and I went to get fabric yesterday for our couches that we're going to recover. That God knows why we brought them all the way from Los Angeles here to, and then had to recover them, and the cost of transporting them and recovering them, I could have bought a whole two rooms full of furniture. It makes no sense. I cannot explain it, except we really like these couches. The last time we recovered couches about 30 years ago, we almost lost our marriage. We could not discuss and discover what fabrics we wanted. We fought over everything that could possibly, it could be this way, it could be that way. It was one of the most stressful parts of our 50 years of being together. In 40 minutes, we picked out the fabrics in total agreement, total. Are they the right ones? Are they wrong ones? It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. They're nice fabrics. You know, they're smooth to the touch. They will feel good. I think they will look good. I don't know. But I went through there and I said, if there is any indicator of spiritual upliftment in life, it is that we have found the fabrics. And we, with a guy who, his name is Michael, he's one of the nicest human beings I have ever met, in a store that is so accommodating, that was so wonderful, who made things so easy for us. And then, as we're driving home, I thought, we were hungry, and I thought, well, it'd be nice like if we could find a Panera Bread. Looking up, there's Panera Bread, right on the corner. Now again, I'm trying not to do the gas station with the great restaurant just when you run out of fuel, but I'm saying there is something that tastes like grace. And I'm not trying to own it. If there was no Panera Bread, we would have found something else that would have been satisfying and good for us. Because it always provides for you until it doesn't. And if you really get it right, when it doesn't provide, it's still grace. And you start to know that. It's still grace, no matter how awful it may get. And yes, we are all going to go through some kind of passage into losing everything we care about, love, and find familiar. We are all going to go through that. The one thing I can tell you is that I am now in a place where very little is familiar. I don't know how it is that I'm here. I don't know what it is exactly that this is, but I can tell you in the moments where there is no person reacting to it, it is what can almost be defined as graciousness and grace. It's just there. And I get the feeling, despite your own individual stories and how you come at this thing, you're all in the same space. You are all living in a space of grace. More grace than you can possibly imagine. And the doorway to grace is really simple. Sit down, get quiet, find the door into your heart, and sit there. And do it regularly. And find yourself stepping out of the madness of duality in the world, out of polarities and all of these things that go on. Just take your time and go inside quietly and go, oh. And if you practice that, it has an aggregate of experience that starts to give you faith. And then beyond faith, there's this thing called trust. And you finally go, I trust this. I don't understand it. It could flop me over the head and kill me at any moment, which it may well do, but I trust it. And that's all I can say. This trust, this amazing trust, is an act of grace. It is an ongoing expression of a life filled with grace. And if you look at this as, well, Bruce got there, what about me? You're not going to get it. It's not like that. The only reason I'm sitting here talking to you is because I have been asked to serve. And the way I serve is to share my journey and to let you know it is also your journey. The universal element in storytelling, we all read a novel and we all see it from a different angle, but we all get the universal reality of it. The universal is the thing that speaks to our heart, our emotion, our higher mind, our sense of collective being. We are given something by storytelling. I am a storyteller. I'm telling you my story, And my story, if we're lucky, will impact the universality of your story. And you will know, I hope you will know, that whatever ride I am on, assuming there's a worthwhile conclusion to this ride, which I'm not going to guarantee, but I would tell you, if it's not worthwhile in the end, it's really wonderful right now. If you can arrive at wonderful now, that's worth it. That is really worth it. Not to be at wonderful now is a waste of your day-to-day life. Yes, it's going to get complicated. Yes, there are days that are going to be hard. Yes, you're going to slip and slide and get all over the place. But there's a recollective experience, a recollecting of you going back into your source, into your core being, into your heart, if you will, into your gut, and sitting still. And after a while, you realize that that home space is always there. No matter what's going on in your day-to-day drama, this space is there, and it embraces you, and it ennobles you, and it transforms you into being someone of love, compassion, care, and service. And it will put you to work. It really will, but it's not work like building houses, although maybe that's what it will be. You know, you can be Jimmy Carter in Habitat for Humanity. That's beautiful. But it may just be work like walking into a restaurant with an open heart and loving the people around you. That's a good thing. Just being in a group full of people and being a listener, or being someone who sees clearly and may say the one thing to someone that comes from your deepest space of knowing, and it helps that person. It's not judgmental, it's not directive, it's just the thing that needs to be said, the thing that needs to be given. You become the mechanism through which life helps life. And what you feel in doing that is life wants that. That something in us, the best of us, wants to be that being for everyone. And it will be easier on the outer rings of the mandala, is what Rudy used to say. It's very easy to love everything on the far end of the circle. Then you got to bring it in. And you got to bring it into who's in the center of your life. Your wife, your husband, your children, your grandchildren, your parents. That's the work. It's always easy to deal with the people on the outside because you've only got them for 4 minutes a month. The people on the inside you get 24/7, and they are constantly demanding you to be something that you may or may not want to be, and you react to that. When you react to that, that reactor is the very thing that the universe is going to come in and destroy. That's all I can tell you. And it's going to go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. So every time you think you're a good person and you finally got there, it has to destroy the thing in you that thinks you're a good person. Because that's a problem. Any identity, any sense of being, having arrived at something and owning it, will be taken away. Every bit of it. And they do it very methodically. They, you know, Rudy always said they. I've never understood who they are, but I know they are. They are us, of course, on some level, but they are an exalted version, if you will, or maybe not exalted, but they are really present tense. And what they appear to want from us is for us to dissolve back into them, to become one with it, one with ourself. And the joy of that is beyond anything. And the last 6 weeks or so of my life have been like nothing I have ever known, ever. I don't think the word joy is a good word because it makes you think there's someone to enjoy it. And I don't know that grace is a good word either because it makes you feel that somehow there's someone who earned it. None of that comes through. It's something else altogether. It's just an unbelievable joy in the next step. No matter what it is. And if it's not joy, or if it's hesitation, or if it's drama or fear, trust me, they are going to work on it. They are going to rip that out. So it's easier to hand it over than to have it ripped out. On the other hand, that's what we are going through. I'm saying we as though I'm extrapolating it to you with knowledge. I'm only really saying that's what I'm going through. But I believe you are also going through it and will go through it. And that this, what I'm describing, may be something to hang your hat on down the road when you go, oh, I wonder if that's like what Bruce went through. And you can go listen to this talk. And you'll go, hey, very similar. I get it. And that kind of plots a trajectory. And I don't know where this ends, but it almost, kind of, for me at this point, doesn't matter. I mean, I know I die. I know that will be done. But I know beyond that, this present tense is so full, so mysterious, so wondrous, so inexplicable, and yet I trust it so completely. And when I have my little moments of doubt, they come in. They come in. They don't, they're not polite about it. They go in. They say, nope, you can't do that. And they're harder than ever. They're harder than ever, but for purpose. And I get the purpose. And I go, okay. And it's just opening and opening. And I don't know if this is enlightenment or if this is realization or if this is awakening, because I thought I awakened all those years ago. But, you know, one of those awakened souls, Adi Ashanti, once said, it takes 10 years for it to really filter through. Well, it's 9 years for me since the awakening, and whatever is happening now is like very different from the original experience. It is so much more, so much, so other magnitudes of difference, and yet it's all part of the same thing. And I have no sense of end to any of it because it seems not to have an end. And I'm not sure I should even be promulgating any of this because I don't really know very much of anything. And I can only tell you that my not knowing seems to be the core element. But I share it anyway. That's what I do. I will sit here probably weekly and espouse the things I'm saying right now. I know it's a big trip to get here. And I know the effort involved in getting here. And I don't want to have to put anybody through undue effort. If you show up here, I will do everything in my power to share the energy and love and compassion and joy that I am experiencing in a tangible, meaningful way that may actually touch you in a physical sense and immaterial sense. But if you don't come, and I know the journey is very, very hard for many people. We're not in the middle of anywhere. We're in the middle of nowhere, which I find symbolically interesting. If you can come to the middle of nowhere, I believe you will take things away. If all you can do is listen to these talks, that will be more than enough. Sitting in the presence of energy from a teacher is really just a focused version of sitting in the midst of anything you're doing at any given moment of time. Sit still on your own somewhere, and the same things will go on. You do not need me. I am not the pathway to that. I'm just a voice of that talking to you, and there are many voices, but the deepest and most profound of those voices is in you. It's not my voice. It's our voice. It's a collective voice. It knows things. And if you get quiet enough, everything I'm teaching you, you will in time teach to others. You know, you may not have the particular vocabulary for it or the articulation of it, but in the end, it's not a verbal thing. It's something else. It's about being with others. Who you are as a being. Every one of you sitting here, and probably every one of you listening to this talk is already a being filled with this evolving simplicity and awareness and gratitude and grace to be able to bring it and share it with the world. And wherever you mess up, they will come through and fix it. They will get rid of that part of you. And you have to be gracious when they do that. Just go, okay. And if you do that, trust me, this idea of having a teacher and a class and all of that becomes superfluous. I like it when you come here because I love you guys. I really love you guys. But if you don't show up for any reason, you're busy, the weather's bad, you've had enough of this, you get it, I'm okay with that. I'm truly okay with that. Do not feel obligated ever to show up. It's not part of the agreement. The agreement is really, if you want like a big spiritual psychic hug, you can get it here. You can probably get a sense of it on the talk. But I do not need this. On the other hand, they asked me to sit here and do this. So I am sitting here and doing this. I invite you, anytime you're around, to show up. And if it gets hard or difficult or obligatory, don't bother. Not essential. Do not guilt yourself. Do not guilt yourself over not wanting to go to a class. It's not worth it. Just go, I'm going to go to the movies. I'm going to go out to brunch. I'm going to buy an ice cream cone. No judgment.
Eggs Benedict.
Eggs Benedict. Mm-hmm. There you go. Eggs Benedict. This class and an Eggs Benedict are very much on the same plane. And if you find your way, if you can find your way to either, that's fine. Although one may stick longer than the other, and I won't tell you which. So, this is a journey I am trying to document for whatever reason. I keep thinking at the end of every class, there isn't much more to say, and I've been saying that now for almost 20 years. So, so I'll be here next week, you have the freedom to show up or not. It will be wonderful one way or the other. And the really important part for me, and the only thing I want you to take away from this, is you will leave here in grace, and it will not dissipate. The only thing that dissipates is your remembering that your life is graced. Trust me. Any questions?
So I've been wrestling with the language of this and understanding that it's not letting this happen, and that letting it is doing.
That's the practice. That's the practice until it's not practice. I can only say there's a shift that happens, and you don't make that shift happen. You just go, oh, a shift happened. And even that's a little bit still in the realm of you being separate from it. What really happens is it just is. And you don't reference it very much. You reference it occasionally, because the body, mind, ego thing needs to reference it occasionally in order to remember to lock the door and, you know, turn the lights on. You know, there are things where certain mind events have to happen, and ego-mindedness has to happen, and you don't get critical for it. You don't blame. There's no punishment. It's like, okay, now I'm aware, now I'm one with it all. When you're one with it all, you don't really acknowledge it. You just are. And it's really, really beautiful. And you may get a little glimpse of it, or you may not get a glimpse of it. It doesn't matter. All I can say is it's all part of the totality. And you don't have to, I said last week, you taste the sugar or you are the sugar. You know, one or the other. But there comes a point where you kind of, you know, you taste the sugar, you are the sugar. And it's all part of some totality, I believe. And again, if I am 100% wrong on all this, maybe better that than be preaching, you know, hell and damnation, which I feel are mind states that one can get into by all of the cardinal sins and things that people get caught up in that do have consequence. I could do a whole talk on consequence and karma and all of that stuff, but the journey, the spiritual journey of working your way through all of that gets lighter and lighter and lighter, and you arrive at a state of being that's not reflective of you and being. It's just being, period. So I don't know if that's the problem with the language. Maybe you can articulate it more, but...
Well, the language that I'm using now is to witness. And as I'm doing that and staying in present time, when I know I'm doing, when I'm doing that is when it's like I experience being so exhausted and old. And everything inside me wants to fight that. It's like, I am not going to be old. I am not going to be exhausted. And then I'm back into doing something to fix that. And I'm going into this loop. I can indulge myself. I can take 2 or 3 naps a day. But still, it's not it.
As someone who's taking 1 or 2 or more naps a day and realizing how lucky I feel to be able to do that now that I'm an old person and retired and have no reason that I shouldn't do that, I don't look at it in the same critical way. But if I did start to feel critical of it, that critical being in me would be under attack from whatever this force field is that's wiping that stuff out. And I'm learning how to go okay. And I go okay to the nap, I go okay to being old, getting old. I'm becoming okay with all of the stuff that goes along with diminishment, because that's what's going on. And the only thing I seem to do, which they want me to do, is I exercise a lot. I do a lot of exercise, and that seems to be supported by what's going on. They want me to be responsible for the body as long as I can. So I don't always want to go out for an hour's walk or more, but I do it every day, or I get on the treadmill, or I get on the bicycle, and I'm walking absurd hour numbers of steps for me, but I know that it's acknowledged, that it's the thing. The part of me that is judgmental about the diminishment of me, or the awareness of me, or trying to think of it as one thing or another, that's ego mind. And ego mind is really, even in awareness, ego mind is a judgmental force. The judgmental force has a standard of this is how it should be, this is how it shouldn't be. That will start to dissolve, and it will just be this is how it is. And that isness is strangely accommodating and relaxing. And you don't judge yourself for it. I want another scoop of ice cream. I want to go outside. I want to take a nap. I want to sit still for 20 minutes. It just lets that happen. It's kind of directive in a way. I just show up. I show up and just keep doing these things. It's really, really liberating, because I don't have to plan the events. They kind of arise, and I just have to be there for it. And I think you do too. And if there's a critical voice going on, I can only tell you, pay attention and go, why? Really? Do I have to do this? Look at it differently. Or try not to engage it, not give it power, and see what happens. I find most of those critical voices are like from when you're 4 years old. They're very tiny. You know, and I'm watching my grandson building those voices right now, and it's like killing me. I don't want him to build them, and I watch his mother feeding into the system with it, and I'm going, don't do that. But I can't stop the nature of what life is doing. He's going to have these voices built in, and he's going to have to, just like you and me and everyone else, undo those to find our way back to this grace.
Or let them be undone.
Well, it is all actually in the end letting them be undone. That's really what you're doing. There's a process. The thing of sitting and practice and discipline is kind of letting. On the other hand, there's also a part of you that's saying, I'm engaging this. I'm going to give myself over to a process that will help free me. And I think that's important, like exercise or yoga or whatever. When you give yourself over to the thing you resist that you know can be helpful, that's very transformative. Mm-hmm. And it's part, I think, of the process. But there's a lot to learn on this journey. And as far as I can tell, if you're a pure soul, I don't know what that means, but if someone who really wants to do this, You will be supported. It will happen. And I think you definitely are that person. That's my understanding. That's what I feel. But I understand the rough edges because I have rough edges and we all go through them. And we have real condemnation and self-judgment. And until that's broken down, and it will be with force in some ways, you are going to, you can't get out of here with any of you as a reactive entity supported by the universe. It will be blown apart. Good luck.
It's really good to hear, because that's what you're experiencing. So I'm experiencing something similar. I have no idea how I was lifted up and dropped into the woods in New Paltz. You know, what you said about it being directive, it really does feel like they are the directors. And there was part of my life that was taking shape in a certain way, and they came in and ripped it to shreds a few weeks ago, and it has led to like a new level of awakening. And in the ripping to shreds, it has given, you know, revealed new direction, and it's like opposite, and in you know, following that new direction, it could seem crazy, like one moment it was like this and now it's like this, but it's like ripping stuff away so that there is like this like joy and blooming in a way that was, I didn't see, and I couldn't have, you know, I couldn't have created. But they came in and like ripped it all away, and then that's where the growth is yeah, just, you know, accepting that. And
I agree. I mean, yeah. I think we all have different versions of how we describe the story to ourselves, and we can interpret it clearly or unclearly, or misinterpret it even. We have all those potentials, but I do think that truth will out. Mm-hmm. And in the finality of it all, we will live it out according to something that is essential for us. And, you know, we look at some of the great teachers and we trust that their journey was real and true. Mm-hmm. And I think that is really important to us. And you know, we can try to live according to what we believe to be real and true in ourselves, and if we're lucky, it will be.
And we're all lucky.
I think in some ultimate sense, that's true. I do think there are capacities for misguided choices and behaviors that can lead people into layers of illusion that create problems. And I think that in the very ultimate, my feeling is we all get liberated, but I don't know that for a fact. And I see a lot of people making choices that I would probably not advise. On the other hand,
I was really good at it. I was very good at making
bad choices.
Well, I think one of the great teachings is the karmic consequence of that. And we learn from that, but we pay big prices. And that's what we're all part of that game. And again, I'm talking as though I understand the ultimate design of it, and I don't know that I do, but there does seem to be something about you do this and that happens. And if you want to correct it, I'm learning that correcting is not that hard if you're willing to say, I'm sorry. If you're learning to undo the thing that you did, and if you can bring some joy to a moment that is often not joyful. I think you can change equations, but you have to learn how to do that or be open to the directive.
I found that when I've had a period of behavior that hasn't, that have been bad choices, usually there's at least months, if not years, of begging for forgiveness pretty much every day. That's been my experience. And also experiencing the shame of what I've done.
I've shared some of that with you, and I know that to be true. And I think the journey is the proof, you know, and in the end, and I talk about end as though there is an end, but at some point along the way, all of that stuff, the mishmash of good and bad and dark and light, all starts to reveal itself as something that was never one or the other. Mm. It was all a totality leading you to bliss or grace. Okay. Well, guys, thank you. Thank you for coming here. Again, this for now will be ongoing. There will always be a place at the table as long as you're hungry.